Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show with Shirley Yance, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome again to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show. I am Shirley, clinical hypnotherapist here in Southern California, and a glittering rainbow girl going way back. My specialty is working with the LGBTQIA community, and I wouldn't have that any other way. And I was thinking, you know, with all that's going on right now in the world, what we really needed was to hear some fun. Some inspirational little stories that'll bring a smile to your face, maybe a giggle to your heart. So we're going to start this show like we start the other one. So only if you're in a safe place, we're going to take a deep breath in, hold it, and exhale a smile. All right, we got this. So as we talked about last week, and as many of you know, we are in Pride season still. I like to say season because sometimes it just sort of lingers way past June, depending on where you live. So this month, I decided that I wanted people on the show that make me proud and, you know, excited to be part of this great community. You know, and some of my people have some pretty good Pride stories. So today, I'd like you to meet a friend of mine, Topher Adam, who is actually an incredible artist who is currently living in Nevada. You're not in Vegas, though, right? You're kind of outside of Vegas?
In Vegas.
Okay. So we actually met online in one of the many Disney Haunted Mansion group pages. And I have been a fan ever since, because that is also one of my greatest loves.
That's awesome.
You know, how can you not like Haunted Mansion?
Yeah, exactly. You
know? I've been following your career, and I know that it's taken ups, downs, slide around, you know, in the beginning. But when did you first know that being an artist was your absolute calling?
Oh man, when I was, I think it's the earliest memories of being an artist, probably when I was six. And I know my mom gave me a piece of paper and pencils, and she challenged me, and I drew a Doberman Pinscher. And ever since then, I've always been fascinated by just, I don't know, just be able to like show my point of view on things. I've never stopped. I mean, I was born this way. I mean, you know, when somebody says you're born this way, this is what I was born to be an artist. And it's also, that can be frustrating, you know, because as an artist, we all know artist life is not an easy life, and it's not one of those lives that you necessarily want to take, but you just, there's something inside of me that anybody ever said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, I'm an artist. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. And so, yeah. I've been doing this my whole life. I am who I am. That's for sure.
That's perfect. And, you know, the fact that you've been able to have this dream for a long time, because I know what we used to talk about, people that would major in art and go, oh, yeah, they work at an art store. You know, so the fact that, you know, you've been able to pursue this consistently is
fabulous. It's been a really beautiful rocky road.
So I know, besides drawing, that you also have a history of design and sewing and sculpting. So, you know, does this help the process, or?
You know, it's funny because when people typically, there's a lot of people who like to give advice in the world, right? They typically go, Topher, you do too much. And I was like, what do you mean I do too much? They said, focus on one thing. And like, well, isn't being an artist one thing? I mean, isn't that the one thing I'm focused on? It is, right? So I think that being born a true artist, you kind of have avenues that you take that kind of help you along your way, and that you well, I shouldn't say you, I should say myself. Mm-hmm. I know that I dive into everything, right? So for me, there's one genre of art. I think art in general is, it's more about me expressing myself, and it's not just one way. I don't think anything can be one way. You have to touch every, this sounds really dirty, but you have to touch art in very different ways to understand how to express that, right? So through clay, through textiles, pencil and ink, paint, digital art, music, everything to me that is creative has been me. It's my soul. It's my destiny. It's my obligation to being true to who I am, right? Mm-hmm. And it's challenging. Definitely. It's challenging because life wants to throw you the curveballs, right? It always wants to throw you something to say, are you sure? Are you sure that's what you want to do? Are you sure this is okay? And, you know, there's times where you just feel like you want to quit, but you can't. You know, I'm an artist. I can't. It's my blood. It's my life. I can't. It's my breath. I have to create.
When I first started hypnotherapy, there were the people that were like, don't niche. Don't, you know. Don't do that because then that's closing you off. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I have my specialty, but it's not like I'm not going to do work with these other people because they're all apart and it all works together. So yes, with it you, it's like, it's not, I am a draw. The kind of artist I am is this. Mm. It's no, I am a complete artist.
Right.
And so
now, don't get me wrong. I did go to school. I do have my art degree. I have a Bachelor of Arts in Design and Visualization. So people are usually like, what the hell is that? Well, I'm a visual interpreter. So I have the ability to see it in my mind. And so I get clients who will discuss something. And you and I have talked about this before on a couple mm-hmm. things. But I can usually tend to pick up your energy and understand it. Kind of what it is that you're really focusing on as you talk, and I see it form in my mind, and it's a blessing, and that is also a curse because I can see everything. You can describe something, I can see it. It's not as fun, but you know, I can see those things, and I think that gives me the ability and upper hand because as a visual interpreter, you basically spit out a concept, and you give your clients ideas, and you give them a concept, something to start with. And so as in that degree, that's helped me, right?
Oh, definitely.
Because it's kind of like being a detective and understanding, you know, really, really honing in and understanding what you're trying to find yourself. Well, you know, I think that you probably do that through hypnotherapy, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you listen to what the person is saying.
Yeah.
And you work with them on their level, where they're at. And you can tell if things are a little not where they're, you know, you kind of root back a little bit, but it's got to help you out to be able to feel that and get the energy off of it and kind of go, okay, you know what, this is what I think you were actually thinking about.
Yeah.
Cause some
you know,
people,
when I first started like working with clients with my degree, I always came up with this philosophy behind it was let's use words because words themselves kind of hone in and dissect someone's emotions, right?
Right.
Those words kind of output what they're trying to feel. And those are feelings. And so I utilize those words and I use power words. And I'm like, give me five power words that describe this thing.
And that's perfect.
From those words and knowing the subject matter, I always seem to be able to spit out what they were wanting. And I was like, whoa, this is really working for me. This is kind of cool. So, you know, just having that ability has been a plus for me.
Oh, definitely. Life. Because people also need to, most people are visual.
Yeah.
But they go, well, it's kind of like this and it's kind of like this. And so making them do the words, it's like, then you kind of know where they're at.
Yeah.
Because, cool. You know, I love that because, yeah, some clients are interesting to work with.
Yeah. You know, even in my younger days when I was fit and not older, but anyway, in my younger days, I used to also be a personal trainer. And it was one of those things where I always told clients, look, this is not my job. Although it is my job to be your cheerleader, right? Right. So utilizing, it's the same kind of concept. If I found words that help me cheerlead the project, then I could do that, right? I was able to understand how to accomplish the project. It's the same thing with working out. It's the same concept. You do the work and I'll ask you the questions and I'll spit out your concept, which is helping you become what you want to become. So yes, it's pretty much basically what I do. Well, kind of what I did. Now I'm just a crazy artist, does what I want.
Well, if you can live your life doing what you want to do every day, doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. What was your first professional gig? Like where you felt like this could happen?
Yeah. I want to say,
because I know you did some fashion stuff.
And that's something that I've always done. I mean, I think you also know I'm a photographer. So
exactly.
I think when I was shooting editorials and I started a publication and I auditioned for Project Runway at the same time. So all of this has happened by me making it to semifinals on Project Runway. And I thought, oh, this is where it's at, right? This is where it's at. And I realized is it always where it's at? I don't know. I mean, sometimes life, like I said, gives you that rocky road that you have to find a way down. But I think with all of the narrowing to that road, that one I wanted, I thought this is the way it's going to be. It doesn't always turn out. But guess what? It brought me here.
Right.
Every road leads to something, right?
Exactly.
And that something is unveiling and uncovering and revealing and showing you the true thing that you're meant to do.
And that's one of the great things about most careers. And it's not just a job, but most careers, that you think you have a path.
Yeah.
And then it kind of turns you this way and you're going, okay, I think this is it. I need to go this way.
Yeah. There's a great advantage to every little thing that I've touched in my life, because it all plays a role into the big picture of what I can accomplish. And I'll still get clients who want me to make them garments, or I'll still get clients who want me to make gowns for editorials. And I still get those clients who want to do photo shoots. And, you know, that thing's never gone. It's never gone. I think what's really fascinating is that it teaches you as a person and as an artist in your life to take on those tasks that you know will celebrate you, right? I mean, it's kind of a bizarre thing. So through my journey in my existence, I have realized that there are jobs that you do that are have to's. Like, I have to do it. And I'm not really thrilled about it. But then there are those jobs that you have to do because you have to do it. It's your calling. It's your soul. It's that thing that you got to until it's done. And that's my life right now. Everything is that. And it's really cool, because out of almost the 50 years I've lived in my life, I feel like I own myself, you know, that's the hardest part. Because too many of us live in a world where we're dependent on a paycheck, right? And I am too. But I mean, I do it differently now, because I'm not sitting here and letting somebody own me. I allow me to own me, you know, and that's one thing I want to inspire people. And we talked about this earlier. Yes. I want to inspire people so I can become inspired by, and that's my goal, is to do that. It's weird.
No, I love that. That's the whole idea, is that if you can spark one person to actually go, he did it, I can do it.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Exactly.
And some people just need to know that what they're trying is possible.
Yeah. There was an art class. Yeah.
And if you've never, you know, if you don't know that person or a person, then you be that person to make it happen.
Right. Right. I had taught a few art classes in the past, and one of the ultimate goals was how to let go of expectation.
Oh,
and we did this through a process they didn't know about. It was my sneaky evil Topher time. And the way we did it was, of course, we learned the basics, and you know, you're teaching people who are new to art, understanding the foundations of art and all this other different stuff.
Right.
But I always throw a wrench in it, and I want to make sure people understand that what your ideas are, they don't have to be the output, right? Art is about expressing, but it always isn't about this requirement of having that output.
Right.
It's about the journey and about understanding that you might come up with something different. So the way I did this is that we would start on a painting. We had great ideas. Everybody started their work. And yeah. Then six weeks out of the class, I would go, okay, stop. Now you're going to go to your neighbor's painting and you're going to finish it.
Wow.
And what that did was it took away people's ideas of expectation. You know, you now have this really crazy thing that you have to now finish someone else's ideas, but now they're yours.
Right.
Right. And it really kind of blew the lids off people because they hated the idea and they were kind of upset with me. But at the same time, it taught them that art really isn't necessarily about what you're going to finish it as. It's about how the journey is.
Yes.
It's the journey. So my whole life about my art is about the journey.
Oh, that's
what am I going to do?
Exactly. You know, how am I going to get there?
Oh, I know. I already know most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know that the Haunted Mansion.
Yes.
Right now is, you know, your main favorite subject.
Oh.
And, you know, just the way you interpret all the characters, that's why I love it so much.
Yeah.
Do you like, you know, other characters or other subjects?
I do. Know? I mean, look, there's, I'm kind of like, I'm a hawk when it comes to things in life because I think it's important for us to notice stuff, notice people, notice things, notice, right? Just notice mm-hmm. people, notice who they are and what they do and how their quirks are. And so I'm a very, very, I guess I like to watch people because okay. to me, that person could become my next character, right? There's stuff that's in the world that I look at and I love the idiosyncrasies of things because what happens is that I kind of get to interpret those things into my own output, right? And so I love watching that. And so as far as like characters go, of course, I love the Haunted Mansion. And,
yes.
But I utilize all those things that I see. If you notice my art is not consistent because everything in the world changes. And okay. to me, painting the spirit world, this is very weird, but painting the spirit world, since spirits are energy,
right?
And it's the energy that manifests and forms itself into multiple things. My art is never consistent because I utilize that and showcase different points of view through that. So a character might look one way and then all of a sudden it changes because in my mind, that's energy.
Right.
And it always changes. It's like that character can never be the same, even though, of course, it's a Disney product, right? Or
right.
It's a Disney concept or a Disney idea. But I take it and I completely twist it.
Oh, definitely.
And I love that about it.
Have you gotten a lot of flack from Disney?
Because
I know that you've been part of certain celebrations that they've had. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
They're well aware of what you do.
Oh, yeah, they know Topher Adam.
Yeah.
I've been criticized and I have been judged a lot by other artists because I think that they don't like that I do the art that I do because I'm not officially a Disney artist, right? And I don't want to say that in a negative way. I have tried to be a Disney artist. I have worked my ass off to be a Disney artist. I have submitted. I've almost been to my knees begging them to be. But I mean, it came to a point where I realized I don't need to be, right?
No.
I don't need to be because I have already accomplished what I have on my own. And so I don't take their art directly, you know, because there's other artists out there who are saying, you know, maybe you shouldn't do that because it's their IP. You know, you're right. It's their IP. It's their intellectual property. But guess
what? Yes, it is.
I'm interpreting it in my way. This is my story. And does it have the same name? No, it doesn't have the same name because mm-hmm. you know what? Anybody can look like that. Yes. Anybody can dress in a dress. Anybody can wear a pair of trousers. Anybody can wear a hat and look like this. It's not, it's an interpretation now. Right. I am making a parody of their art now. So you know, for me, it's not a Disney product.
No, you just use it as that's your inspiration.
Exactly. And there's so many stories out in the world. I've started my own stories who people love and that I should fulfill because I feel like if I continued making that, maybe people would follow it more. But it's a fine line, right?
Right.
How do you drive people who love one thing to drive them into loving another thing? That's hard. And it's been hard for me because I don't want to lose the attention of all the fans that I've made.
Right.
And I don't want to lose them. But at the same time, I need to own myself.
Exactly. You have to be true to you.
Yeah. And so I've been told by many of the Disney artists, Topher, just keep doing what you're doing.
You know, I would say if you get that kind of a response, then just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Because I'm not afraid anymore. Not
good.
Afraid. Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody's going to have criticism.
Yeah.
About there's always one person.
Always.
you know, there's certain things that I see that, you know, it's like, don't read the comments. Don't read the comments. It's like, and I've had to deal with that too.
Yeah. People don't know this about Topher Adam. What? I grew up in Texas. I'm Southern. And I mean, they don't necessarily call that Southern because it's not Georgia or whatever, but
right.
I am Southern. I have grown up Southern and I have a very well-established form of ethics. And my established ethics are always answer people.
Okay.
Never hide behind something. You don't have to defend yourself, but tell them the truth.
Right.
And so I will always... People are like, don't answer, Topher. Don't answer. You know, block the haters. Do this. I'm like, no, I can't block the haters. I have to tell them the truth. And they can take it however they want. And they can interpret however they choose. But I will always defend myself in a sense of knowing that I'm honest. And I will tell them exactly what will be said.
And that's, you know, to actually get not hide behind it.
Yeah, I won't.
You know, to actually go, I hear you. I see you. Mm-hmm. I'm not defending what I do, but this is why I do it.
There are people people want to steal your power.
Right? Yes.
They're always there to steal your power. And that power will never be stolen. It could be stolen if I was quiet, but it will never be stolen because I will never let them. And I will always... I don't know if it's kill people with my kindness, but I will maintain my truth. I will maintain who I am and I will never falter from that. I will never drive a different path because they decided to tell me to do something else. I'm like, no, I won't. No. And it's just like some of those other artists, you know, the Disney artists who are saying, you know, they're really upset with you. They're really following you. They're, you know, you should be worried about this and stuff. And I'm like, you know what, dude? No. No, because I have other artists who I know personally who have said, keep doing what you're doing. So it's like, I could listen to you or I could listen to them, but instead I take both sides of the story and I follow this.
Yes. That.
That's all that matters to me.
And I would figure if they were going to come after you, they'd have done it by now.
Yeah. With all the shows and the events and the parties and the things that I've helped curate and stuff like that. I think that they might have, but you know, am I doing them a benefit? I think I am, you know, I think I am helping. This is my own interpretation. I think I'm helping fuel the joy of what this thing is. Right.
Right.
So if they decide that they want to hunt me down, you know, I'll have to cross that bridge when I do, but I'm hoping and I'm prayerful that that will never happen.
Because, exactly.
You know, that type of thing is, well, let's go back to when you asked me the first question. When I first started drawing, there was an artist test that I saw on the TV when I was a young kid. And you could call this phone number and they send you this kit in the mail.
Right. I remember
And it
those.
Shows you, yes, it shows you one of the drawings, my cat. One of the drawings was Jiminy the Cricket, right?
Okay.
And I remember drawing Jiminy the Cricket, and I hit it spot on, and I sent it away. And, of course, I was too young because it was more of a college thing or whatever. But I remember and I have this little art box that, you know, has all these Disney drawings on it, and it's a light box, and you can, as a little kid, you could trace them.
Right.
So it's fascinating to me that the ideas that Walt Disney set in stone was to inspire next generations to become true and be who they want to be. And I don't think that the Walt Disney that created the Walt Disney parks would be the same as the corporation Walt Disney is today.
Very true.
I believe that they taught my age group to dream and to like wish upon the star and to believe in themselves and to draw and inspire and aspire to become this artist. And I wanted to be a Disney artist, but I didn't know about that when I was a little kid.
Right.
How would I know? When I was in college, how did I know that you could be an imaginary? I didn't know anything about that. Nobody ever told me. So it's like, of course, I didn't go that way. And as I became the adult that I am and knew that I had an opportunity to do that, I tried, right? There's no way I did not try. I tried and I kept getting rejected. In fact, I'm in a film called Foolish Mortals. It's a documentary about foolish mortals who are Disney fan artists, primarily Haunted Mansion fan artists. And it follows my story from submitting on content to them and getting rejected. And, you know, it's a great film. And it's funny because at the end it says Topher Adam is still trying to get into this, you know, and it's one of those things like I had finally decided when people said, Topher, Disney knows about you. They love your work, but you draw it already.
Oh,
and you sell it already.
Okay.
So you'll never be a Disney artist because it's kind of oxymoron, right? In a way, because
they
say, draw this, learn how to do that, do this. But I can't hire you because you do that. It's really weird.
Yeah, that doesn't really make a lot of sense.
But it doesn't change my heart.
No, it never will.
No.
So I'm guessing that you're having the same withdrawals I am from Disney.
Well, you know my room.
Exactly.
I don't necessarily feel withdrawals because I need, if I feel like, yes, I am being withdrawn because I want to be at the park. That's my therapy. But at the same time, I get to come in here and surround myself with all my Disney stuff and feel completely emerged and content. I'm so content. I have my ghost bride here, Madame Leota, Hatbox Ghost. I mean, I have all these things around me that I can't not be happy with.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just have little pieces here and there. I don't have a whole room yet.
No, it's all good.
I'm guessing it's going to happen probably soon.
Yeah, I'll help.
Yeah. So when you're putting stuff together, it's pretty much a solo thing. But I know that in the projects that you've been working on lately, it's been a team of two, sometimes three, but mainly a team of two.
Yeah. Well, I have one here, actually. It's my masks.
Yes.
And they're all my artwork that's inspired by the Haunted Mansion. But, you know, when COVID really hit the shores, I thought, you know, there's one way we could look at it. We can celebrate and wear these funky little masks, or we can be miserable and wear a miserable mask. Right. So I thought, well, why not bring joy to it and put my artwork on them and make them silly and fun. And I thought we would sell maybe 100 of them. And I've gone way over 1,000. I feel like a human pincushion,
and sure.
I have not sewn this many things in my life. But you know what? It's really cool. It's really cool to see many people like really love what I've done.
Oh, and absolutely!
It's really cool. Yeah.
And every time you put out more, those of us that you know have already bought one are like, I can't keep buying these. I've got a collection now.
I know.
And
it is what it is.
You know, and you've expanded on your COVID stuff with.
Yep.
The bats.
Yes. I have ear savers that go behind your head that take the elastic band so you don't hurt your ears anymore. A year ago, I developed an essential oil that was called Mansion Memories. And basically, it took me a long time to understand scents that were in the Haunted Mansion.
Okay.
I have one of those memories that I can smell things in my memory.
Oh, wow.
I can also taste things with my memory. So it's one of those weird, I can't explain it.
That's
But I was
fabulous.
Able to grab all these smells and put them together. And I came up with this oil that's amazing. It's knocked people's socks off, but they really believe that they've been transported back to the mansion. So I made disinfectant sprays and I'm making a hand sanitizer. So, you know, to me, it's about making sure that people are enjoying their life and staying safe and using the products that I've made so that they can bring joy to their life rather than find it be miserable. So yeah, I've tried my best.
You know, and smell, as along with pictures, smell is like the biggest memory.
Yeah.
You smell something and you just go back.
Oh, totally. It evokes that thing that you remember, and it evokes that space. And, you know, maybe it's not necessarily, I don't know, an old building full of oil and tracks and stuff, but it is the smell that reminds you of your ideas of what the Haunted Mansion is. And I think that in itself is the story and the smell itself. And I think that's what really takes people back, because for me, I know I use it every day and I'm like, oh, I just love this stuff, you know, because it really does take me there. And I have it in my room and I spray it every day, and I'm going to make candles and little wax melts and stuff. So yeah, it's going to be great.
I love that.
Yeah.
So what do you have in the works right now? Anything special coming up? Or
I do have, you know, I make scenes. I have been taking, it's again, you know, I think I inspired Disney to do their own, but 2 or 3 years ago, I started off using Disney's ornaments and making scenes for them, because for me, I wanted to make sure if I was going to buy this ornament, I could see it every day. Right. So I made little scenes for these ornaments to sit on so you could display them every day. And so I have a new scene coming out. Can't tell you which one it is. I know that Disney has some other items. I typically take what Disney has made and I support their product by building something that other people can display them with.
That's
so
great.
I have those coming up, and I'm working on a pirate's oil.
Ooh.
And so I'm kind of branching out a little bit, going a little piratey here. But we all know the story about how they were connected once.
Yes.
Haunted Mansion and the Pirates. So I have that coming out. And then I have some very large items that were very one-offs that I'm making that we'll see if anybody's interested in. I don't know. You know, it's one of those things. You know, Patrick Harris bought some of my stuff. So
I did.
That's been a real blessing to have a celebrity enjoy what I've done.
Absolutely. That's kind of every artist's dream. It's
that was really bizarre and kind of, you know, you get an email and you see their name and you're like, no, this isn't real.
Exactly.
And then you talk to them and you're like, oh, wait, that is real. You know, and that's kind of a cool thing to speak with somebody who's really a good person. He's like, you could tell he's a good person, and to enjoy what I've done. It's really honor. It's an honor.
You know, and then to see you in a magazine, it's that's my product. That's me.
Yeah. I think that my last interview was on Inside the Magic. Which,
okay.
You know, it's funny, right? Because this is all Disney stuff. But it's Inside the Magic. They did an interview twice of one of my room and then basically one of my art, which is really flattering. But yeah, I'm kind of like all over the place.
Hey.
It's like having creative ADD.
But isn't that what every artist wants?
I know it is. You know,
as many places as you can.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's that thing where I think humble attracts those things. You know, being humble and letting life guide you to those things. You know, I think that's the true message of not looking for it, just allowing it to show up.
Yep, that organic slide.
Yeah.
Any advice for artists that are trying to start up?
Yeah, I think that's the first word you just said, trying.
Trying.
No, don't try. You know, it's not.
You're going Yoda on me.
Well, yeah, it's not about trying. It's about staying true to the nature of yourself, right? I never gave up. I took advice, but when it came to the point of view where I knew what I wanted, I said no, but thank you. You know, and just consistently understanding that your journey is about staying true to your message, staying true to your journey, staying true to who you want to become, seeing the big picture. If you can journal, if you can storyboard, whatever you can to understand what your goals are.
Okay.
My ultimate goal was this, to create things that allows other people to celebrate what they love.
Perfect.
I was never about my name. It was about creating the things that help them celebrate what they love. And if I can celebrate it because I wanted it and I made it, I know somebody else was going to want it, because it's one of those things, you know, you build a tribe, and that tribe is that thing. And when you build that tribe and you join that like-mindedness, you become that thing and you attract that thing. And it's the beautiful part of the journey.
Oh, and so, it's, yes, that's the best artist, part.
As an artist, know who you want to become and never, ever let anybody drive you another way. Because I always say,
love it.
You're the only one driving this car. This is the windshield. So however you need to look out of it and understand how you can maintain your road to your success, always focus. Put blinders on. Don't let anybody else tell you how to get there.
Definitely. So where can we find you if we want to check out your new artwork or your other artwork?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you can Google Topher Adam.
Right.
And forgive me for saying this. It's like being a whore on the corner. I'm everywhere on Google. It's okay. Like I'm there. So if you Google Topher Adam, you'll see me. You can look for my art for Disney stuff. It's I Am a Foolish Mortal. That's I-M-A, not I-A-M. I Am a Foolish Mortal.com. I am on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I think I was on TikTok. I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, I'm all over the place. You asked me one question earlier about pride.
Yes, actually, I was getting to that right now.
I wanted to talk about that because I think it's pretty cool.
So what is your, you know, your pride memories?
You know, I have a few pride memories that bring joy to my heart when I remember them. It's not necessarily the person I was with because I was one of the first 400 couples in San Francisco to get married.
Wow.
So when Gavin Newsom signed the bill, I waited in line. I think we waited almost 12 or 13 hours and we almost didn't make it. But we were one of the first 400 couples to get married in San Francisco. They were all annulled, sadly. But to be able to walk in pride as the first 400 couples in the state of California to be married legally was really an honor, right? And Gavin Newsom was there.
Oh, absolutely.
And that was really cool because, you know, I actually felt like that we finally have that voice. And I was thinking about this the other day too. You know, all the riots and things that are going on and all the sad things that we have to do to prove that we have equality for Black Americans, Asian Americans, gay Americans, whoever you are, right? Gay pride is essentially a peaceful protest every year.
We forget
that it's a peaceful protest to celebrate, to remind people. And yes, it's a lot of stupid partying and stuff, but whatever. If you want to do it, go for it. But it is ultimately the most peaceful protest in the world to remind people. And we don't get notification for that.
No.
The media doesn't remind people that this is not a party. It's a reminder that this is a peaceful protest of all the crap that we've had to go through in our whole existence to accomplish what we have accomplished with all of the hate and all of the segregation, all the stuff that we've had to deal with our whole entire lives as gay humans. This is a protest to remind the world that we have worked hard to be who we are and that we should never have had to be that person ever.
But, and we're not going back to that person.
No, we're never going back. And I said yesterday, there's nobody in the world who can tell you to be anything other than what you want to be.
Yes.
And I get crap for writing this stuff all the time. But you know what? It's so true.
It's truth.
Donald Trump, or any of those idiots, I'm sorry, whoever's listening, but any of those people out there who are trying to tell you that you can't be transgender or you're not transgender, that you can't be non-binary or you can't be gay. They have no right to tell you that. We are all human. We are all dropped on this planet. We're floating through space, questioning everything that we do. You have the right to be what you are. And nobody can tell you that. You can't be. No.
No.
And I don't care how many laws they try to pass. They still can't change you.
Right.
They can't change this.
Exactly.
And so I just had to throw that in. But my second one, I'm sorry, Cassandra.
No, I love that.
A dear friend of mine, transgender, she's Cassandra Cass. She invited me to be on her float for Gay Pride 1 year. And I dressed up like a silly old fat director on this float, directing this Broadway show and whatever. And she was a mermaid and all this stuff. I mean, it was just so stupid and so silly that it was absolutely a blast.
Those are the fun ones.
They are.
You know, not I remember, you know, it's like, you start thinking about pride and then you start going, oh, but what about this?
Yeah.
Oh, we did the craziest thing here.
Yeah. You know, and it wasn't being the spectator. It was being the one watched. And I think, you know, that's just the silliness of it. It's like being the silly, stupid fag. And I say that lightly, but, you know, being this guy on this float, just being so stupid and funny that I just love it. It sparks the light in my heart.
You know, if you can take any time and you can be that crazy person,
yep,
and you can just let it out, you have to let it out.
Exactly.
We're not at a time where you should be afraid to be anything.
No.
You know, dance around, do what you need to.
If I was afraid to be who I was, I would have failed a long time ago.
Boy, I'd understand that.
Yeah.
Holy moly. So this year we have a lot of virtual prides.
Oh, yes.
Have you gotten to, you know, check them out, see anything that's...
Are you kidding? I'm sewing masks.
Okay.
I am sewing masks from the time that I get up until the time I go to bed. I am seriously a human pincushion. But, you know, Las Vegas Pride is at night. So I really want to try to go this year because we hold our Pride in September. And it's in the evening because it's understandable that it's so damn hot here.
Yeah.
I never knew what hell was like until I moved to Las Vegas.
Yes.
But yes, it's okay. But yeah, I would love to check them out. I haven't yet. I just hope that the world doesn't overlook Black Lives Matter and gay pride together. I hope that somehow it should be one thing. It should be like lives matter, you know, not gay, not straight, not bi, not whatever. Lives matter. That's the ultimate thing. We should have a parade every year to say life matters.
Right.
That's all.
You know, and with pride as well as with, you know, there are the people that are out now. You know, maybe they'll end up the way pride ceremony or pride parades are. And it's like every year a peaceful, like you said, a peaceful protest to remind people we're still here. We're not going anywhere.
Mm-mm.
So.
And it's been here for how long? Hello?
Exactly.
Hello.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Yes,
this has been fabulous.
I hope so.
So I will have all of your information on my website and the Facebook page.
Very nice.
So if anybody, you know, can't seem to find you, which
it's so easy,
I can't imagine, but all of that information will definitely be on my website. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a
great
day.
You too.
Right. Bye-bye.
So I have actually been trying to keep up with all these virtual prides, but I got to tell you, things change so fast that my best advice to all of you is to just look up virtual pride. You should be able to find one in your state, in your area. But like I said, it doesn't matter. It's online. You can watch virtual world pride or, you know, every country, see how they do it. It's almost making us more connected than we were before. So let's take this opportunity, you know, and celebrate with everyone. This is Shirley, the hypnotherapist part. So wanted to let you all know that if you have any questions, comments, pride stories, I would love to hear them on hypnofairygodmother, you know, at yahoo.com. And I am a hypnotherapist. So if you'd like to make an appointment right now, I'm seeing everybody online because why not? You know, you're there, I'm here. The joy, the absolute joy of being able to connect this way is wonderful. I want to, you know, to help support out the channel if you'd like to. I do have a Patreon page with some fabulous, fabulous little perks on it. You know, I got some freebies on there. Give you a big old shout out. You know, do some advertising. Right now, you know, everybody that signs up, you know, gets these fun little bracelets, which I love. Got them all over the place. So thanks for tuning in this week and tell your friends all about the show because we want to grow and grow and grow. And who knows who we'll have next week? Although I think I actually already know. So, you know, let's end the show the way we begin it. Great big deep breaths. Remember, only if you're in a safe place. Deep breath. Hold it. And exhale a big smile. So remember, keep that smile in your heart. And, you know, I will see you next week. Have a great week.
You're listening to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show with Shirley Yance, only on LA Talk Radio.